He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday. It's the midweek edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. He'll be joining us here in a bit with commentary on a lot of earnings that came in since we last talked yesterday. And we do have a good strong day out of the gate here so far this morning with the let's see, right now the Dow is up just over 200 points, it looks like, 241 points to 32,637. You've got the S&P up 41 points, that's a 1% move, it's at 4,132. The NASDAQ is up 224 today. It continues its winning ways. The NASDAQ is up 1.8% this morning. The Russell 2000 is up 0.9%. That's the small cap stocks. Crude oil, pretty quiet. Crude is up 18 cents is all. Crude is at $94.60. Gold is down $8. At $17.81. Silver, which went above 20 for the first time in a long time recently, is at $19.99 this morning. The 10-year is up. The 10-year was up about 10 basis points yesterday. It's up to 2.77. And Bitcoin today is up. So we've got that risk-on appetite on in the market today. Bitcoin's up $566 per coin to $23,354. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson and chartered financial analyst Barry Kite. And well, let's first look at yesterday, Barry. It was all about geopolitical, I would say, worries over what might happen with Pelosi landing in China, meeting with China's leader. The Dow was down 400 yesterday. There were also some earnings reports that were part of that, DuPont and Caterpillar.
Yeah, and AMD was in the after hours.
Yeah, AMD in the after hours. And so far, it seems like the fallout has been increased military exercises, you know, around Taiwan. And the Taiwan Straits are very important. There's a lot of commerce that goes through there. There's been a cyber attack on the Taiwan leadership on their network. And there's also some trade going on back and forth, blocking trade on certain items from Taiwan. Of course, China is Taiwan's biggest trading partner. So that's where it stands right now. But obviously, it wasn't, at least yet. I mean, the repercussions are not as bad as we could have been. And I think that's part of the market being up today. But those tensions are flaring. You know, it's probably the worst we've seen between the U.S. and China in a long, long time. Okay, as far as earnings reports go, the big one was AMD after the close last night. AMD actually beat earnings. AMD came in with earnings that were, you know, just 67% better than last year. The sales were just up 70%. Now, remember, the average for the S&P 500 companies is going to come in about 8 or 9% overall, whereas AMD came in at 70%. So this is a superior. This is one of the top growth stocks in the world. And it is recovered quite a bit. It was down about 5%. It was because of the guidance. You know, a lot of times these companies do guide a little low on the low side.
Yeah, you want to sandbag a little bit, right?
A little bit.
You want to over, you know, under-promise, over-perform, right?
And AMD is only down 1.3% right now. Was down 5% in the after hours at one point in time. Now, let's just compare AMD's numbers. Their earnings up 67%. Their sales up 70%. Okay, now let's compare with Intel, which reported about a week ago. Intel, on the other hand, their sales were down 22% year over year, and their earnings were down 79%. And, you know, it wasn't that long ago. It's been several years now when Intel was by far the dominant chip maker. And now it has really taken it on the chin as AMD has surpassed it. Intel is now a $145 billion company. AMD is now bigger than Intel at $156 billion. And their sales are catching up, too. But, you know, what can I say? AMD makes a better chip. They're more on the cutting-edge side of things. Their chips that they're making are more in demand right now. I would say Intel is still pretty much linked to the personal computer, which, you know, those sales aren't as robust as they used to be. The lifespan of a personal computer is a lot longer than it used to be.
Yeah.
We're not trading them in every few months. And AMD just seems to dominate in a lot of different areas that are more high-tech, bigger data, margins.
Yeah, data warehousing. They're in a lot of the big server chips now. And it kind of just shows you how fickle earnings season can be sometimes. I mean, I was looking at the report and looked at it again this morning, and it's, you know, their guidance was that they expect revenue between, you know, $6.5 to $6.9 billion, right, in the third quarter. Analysts are expecting $6.81 billion. You know, so when I look at it, I'm like, well, that's kind of within the range. I don't, you know, and then you see the headline that they're, you know, guiding lower. So it's just, it's kind of it's somewhat interesting sometimes where, you know, we get caught up, and we'll talk about, I'm sure we'll talk about SolarEdge later on. Very similar in a lot of ways in terms of the reaction was worse, certainly. But it's just funny how fickle some of these reactions are sometimes.
Now, the question is, would I be a buyer of AMD here? Well, okay, consider this. AMD is trading at 23 times forward earnings. Okay, the average is about 17 right now, but this is way a superior growth stock to the IBMs and the Walmarts and the Philip Morrises of the world. It's expected to grow over the next 5 years by 28% per year. That means it's still trading at a discount to its growth rate, 22 versus 28.
And a peg ratio below 1.
Yes, 0.81, and we use a modest multiple. And, you know, I think that AMD has a lot of upside potential, a lot of upside potential from here. So I'm not going to lose any sleep. I'm not going to sweat it. You know, AMD is kind of rallying right now. It's only down 0.9% as we speak. It was down 0.5%. So this is not an ultra expensive stock. In fact, it fits my style of growth, GARP, growth at a reasonable price. And if I can buy a growth stock, excuse me, that is trading at a discount to its growth rate and a peg ratio under 1, that's still favorable to me. Out of the 6,058 stocks that we currently have in the BestStocksNowApp.com database, AMD is currently ranked at number 30. Okay, so there you go. I mean, we still like AMD, and it continues to be one of our biggest positions. And, you know, I thought the earnings were sensational. 67%
yeah.
growth in earnings, 70% growth in sales. Okay, now, The next biggest one was probably Starbucks, I suppose. It's still a major consumer. It's definitely a guide for the consumer, how the strength of the consumer is. And Starbucks did okay. We don't own Starbucks. They beat on earnings. They beat on revenue. Their guidance is suspended. They stopped giving guidance sometime back, I think, during the COVID.
And that's some of the cost, right? Yeah, because they just don't know what the price of coffee is going to be from.
No, but it's doing okay here. Starbucks is up 1.7%. So, you know, we're one stock down a little, one up a little, but a whole lot more to talk about here. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter of today's Best Baseball Trades Now show. Well, you know what? I grew up the first 8 years of my life. I was in Los Angeles, Burbank area. And as a little boy, I listened to Vin Scully calling the Dodger games. This is Dodger baseball. One of the great voices, and, you know, could he spin a yarn? And just, I mean, he was just incredible with words. Then when I was eight, we moved to San Diego, and I had to remain a Dodger fan because there was no team in San Diego at that time. And continued to listen to Dodger baseball. And then when I was 12 years old, the San Diego Padres played their first game, and I was there. And have been a fan ever since. We made quite a bit of waves yesterday, Barry. We, the Padres, who always were a low-budget team, okay, come the trade deadline, we're the ones giving up our stars, right, for a bunch of prospects, a bunch of 19-year-old kids. You know, we gave up Adrian Gonzalez over the years. Ozzie Smith, right. Dave Winfield, you know, we couldn't keep it. We couldn't afford to keep the only one that stayed was Tony Gwynn.
Tony
because
Gwynn.
He was totally faithful to San Diego. But yesterday we signed. Our owner now it has Dodger roots big time from the O'Malley family, Peter Seidler, who's a private equity guy. He must be having a good year. Because he stepped up to the plate and got Juan Soto for us for the stretch run. And we're waiting for Tatis to come back any day now from his broken wrist. So we'll have Tatis and Soto and Machado all in
those
the same
three.
Lineup.
Yeah, that's
going
to be a pretty pretty lethal lineup. I saw where the Juan Soto story, I saw where what he turned, I guess earlier in the season, what he turned down, like a 15-year, 400-and-something million-dollar
contract. Yeah, $440 million because he didn't want to remain in Washington, D.C. So, I don't blame him. I wouldn't want to live.
And you 15 know, years is quite a lengthy contract.
Oh my gosh, half $1 billion. Right. He turns it down. Nah. And one of the guys that was involved in the trade from San Diego was Eric Hosmer, who's my wife's favorite player. She's heartbroken. He turned down. Washington's one of the teams that he will not go. And he ended up in Boston.
He wouldn't remove it from his no trade clause, right?
No.
He really didn't want to go to D.C.
So, anyways, we've got some exciting baseball to watch in the evenings between now and the end of the season. Okay, Starbucks, AMD, back to the other players here that I watch with a lot of interest every single day. You know, and speaking of San Diego, one of the biotechs there, I knew people that worked for Alnylam, and I've owned that stock in the past. It's one of the leading RNA companies, which that's the technology that's in the in Moderna. The vaccines, Moderna and Pfizer, and really a couple of San Diego companies were very instrumental in the early days of RNA. Well, Alnylam is up 53% today. And I had to look up what this disease is. It's just when all your nerves go crazy. Well, that happens to me all the time. But polyneuropathy, okay, they had a drug come out that, or in the lab that's very potent against it. And Alnylam is exploding to the upside today. We should have hung on a little longer there. It's up 53%. That's the biotech medical story of the day. Now, back to Starbucks just for a minute. They also gave a comment on the consumer spending trends. You know, I mean, they're a pretty good measure of the consumer. You know, they sell a little bit higher end, more expensive product than the local 7-Eleven. Starbucks said that spending trends are still strong. They see no measurable reduction in consumer spending or trading down despite the inflation and other macro pressures. So anyways, they're also still confident on the upside in China. So anyways, everybody weighs in. I find that when a company misses their earnings estimates, they blame inflation and they blame a weakening consumer, when in reality it was their fault, right? They had the wrong products. Or
wrong mix. Yeah, wrong product mix, all kinds of stuff.
But
right?
It's easy to blame. Okay, Robinhood. Now, here's another. This is just kind of becoming a little bit of a trend that I'm seeing, especially in the Silicon Valley. Robinhood plans to slash headcount by 23% in another cost-cutting push. Well, Robinhood, I don't think they've ever made any money. I warned everybody about that stock.
You've been warning. You were warning that one before it ever even came public.
Yeah, they went after a certain demographic, which in this business, you know, is not the most profitable or lucrative, and that's the one they decided to chase. And the stock at one time was 85. This is another big Cathie Wood stock. Now it's 10. From 85 down to 10, and they're laying off 23% of their staff in another cost-cutting push. This is also the company that was at the center of the meme, wasn't it? At the center of GameStop.
They benefited certainly folks for trading on that platform, right? To kind of bump up that stock, or you know, reading on Reddit and then trading on Robinhood, right?
That's exactly right. You know, it was GameStop, it was American Airlines, or not American Airlines, AMC Entertainment.
Wasn't it Hertz? Rental car, wasn't it Hertz?
So, anyways, I mean, there are still some meme stocks that come along, but some guy even made an ETF on the meme stocks, which doesn't seem very sustainable to me. Okay, now, this next little story. Here's a stock to watch, Gevo. GEVO. You've probably never heard of it, but I will tell you this, that their business is making sustainable aviation fuel. So, you know, that's kind of like the French fry grease one, I think. Alaska Air announced a new fuel sales agreement with Gevo. See, they're trying to push these airliners into making renewable fuels to run on. The agreement provides for Alaska to purchase 37 million gallons per year of sustainable aviation fuel for 5 years through Gevo's future commercial operations. So if you're looking for a renewable a jet fuel play that comes from high-protein animal feed and field corn waste, look at Gevo, G-E-V-O. Alaska trying to get their scores up, right, with the environmentalists. All right, we'll be right back with a lot of earnings reports. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, for me, the irresponsible report of the day, this guy that loaded up on Bitcoin, Michael Saylor at MicroStrategy, I see he stepped down as the CEO. He's going to remain on. He's divided into two different positions. They had a huge loss. Their loss on their Bitcoin holdings more than doubled. But he continues to be a total bull on Bitcoin. And that stock has just crashed. It's gone from 1,300 back last year, 1,300 to 300. In fact, it got as low as 134. I'm surprised there's not a lot of lawsuits taking place there. It has recovered quite a bit. It's now at 300, but it was at 1,300 last year. And they do have another business. It's software business, but it really has become tied to the fortunes, the rise and fall of Bitcoin. Airbnb posts record-breaking revenue, touts the resilience of travel demand, which we've seen a lot of that recently from Marriott, from Uber, but Airbnb is down 5.6% today. Their sales were up 58% year over year, and their earnings up 6%. Have you ever done Airbnb there, Barry? I never have.
Yeah, we actually did one in Paris. So it was I've done it a few times. It usually works better if you're going to stay more than, you know, a night or two, because
yeah,
you know, there's always a cleaning fee and some other things. So, you know, the finance guy in me wants to spread that cleaning fee over you know, give me enough time to dirty the place up a little bit.
Yeah, my brother does it all the time. He loves it. I don't know. I just like the hotel experience. I don't like staying in someone's home myself. That's just me.
And we did a little bit of both, but, I mean, you know, it kind of ties into, I think you hit, you know, the Uber results yesterday. And so, you know, to me, those two are tied very close together, right, in terms of, you know, moving around in someone else's car and then staying in someone else's house.
And they were both disruptive companies. They disrupted the taxi business, and they haven't really disrupted the hotel business, but opened up a whole new lane there.
Yeah, disrupted you know, kind of the neighborhood business, right?
Yep.
'Cause you had certain cities fighting them in terms of having a rental home, you know, essentially, you know, two doors down from you, being, you know, basically a vacation hub.
Exactly. Yeah, big wild parties, you know, every weekend.
Yeah, right.
That's the neighbors complain about us a lot, you know, the wild parties. ServiceNow, okay, that's one of the great stocks of all time, but, you know, just a so-so report. It seems to me, I'm reading a lot, that there's kind of been a slowdown in the cloud business. And I've been watching these cloud stocks, and, you know, I saw the other day Snowflake, and ServiceNow and Salesforce and others of the cloud stocks. ServiceNow reported earnings that came in better than expected a little bit. Stock is up a little bit. We made a lot of money in that stock a couple years back. We wrote it up, wrote articles about it. It was one of the biggest winners we ever found. It went clear up to $707 at one point in time in 2021. Now it's down around $458, but it's not cheap. It's very expensive, though, because it's a growth stock. Camping World.
Yeah, I saw the. I thought about you when I saw this one, Bill.
Me, I'm not.
We've owned it. Well, we've owned it in the past.
Yes, we've owned it, but I couldn't get my wife into a camping, vacation. There ain't no way. Anyway, Camping World knocked it out of the park. Now, one thing I do know that I like about Camping World, it's Marcus Lemonis. I used to like his show called The Prophet, P-R-O-F-I-T, and he went into companies and turned them around, companies that were struggling. And he, all from all walks of life, restaurants, bakeries. He even went into Allen Brothers Steaks in Chicago.
Yeah, he had,
remember
he had
that episode?
Like the, yeah, he had. I mean, he's kind of the Midas touch.
Yeah.
Kind of what it,
so now it's interesting to watch him run his own company. It's done pretty well. That's a dicey business. Gas prices, inflation. I mean, there's the economy goes south.
Interest costs. I mean, you can get basically mortgage like debt on those things. And so as mortgage rates go up, it's more of a deterrent in terms of getting into one of those things.
Yeah, well, he came up with some nice earnings here, and the stock up 16% right now. I don't know if it's in the S&P 500, but it is another one that's a bellwether stock in a lot of ways. Okay, then we got Generac, which pretty much dominates the world of generators. I have a Generac at my house. If the lights go out, the Generac comes on, running on propane. But Generac's really been a sideways stock for quite a while. We owned it for a while. It's a big growth stock. I don't understand why it doesn't do better. It's down 4.7% today. They beat earnings. They reaffirmed 2022 guidance. I don't see anything wrong with that. Their sales were up 40%. There's a lot of people going to that that model of solar and then having the batteries that store solar power. And then if you have any kind of power outage, the generator, they do have a generator that's run by solar. But it's hard. I have a little, a smaller generator that's run by solar. You could take it camping with you, and recharge your phones, and I have it for my office here in case something ever happened and I had to resort to solar, on the roof and standing on to get the show out. You never know.
Yeah, right.
So Generac, anyways. Not CVS Health, that's a Dow stock. They own Aetna. They had a bombshell of a report. That's up 4.5%. That's part of the Dow being up today. And I guess the one that surprised me the most yesterday, it's a stock that I gave up on a long time ago, PayPal. Man, PayPal went from 300 down to 71. It just got murdered. And I think it's because competition came along. There's a lot of payment companies. Man, that's a crowded field.
And your other players, Visa, MasterCard, they're beginning to get to get a foothold in that business as well.
Yeah, but they came along. There was a lot of short interest in PayPal, but they finally came along. They beat the expectations, and PayPal is up 9.8%. And then Moderna, which it's having a good day. It's up 14%, but that's been a sideways stock. With nothing but insider selling since the beginning of the year. They're getting out while the getting is good. It got clear down to 119 from 500. That stock went to 500. It got so big they put it in the S&P 500. There was a stock in the right place at the right time with the vaccine. I think them and Pfizer and Moderna were the winners in the vaccine race. Okay, last but not least, how about Yum Brands, which is the four food groups, Pizza Hut, Taco Bell. What else do they
have? Kentucky Fried Chicken.
I mean, look, if you can't find a winner there, I don't know where else you're going to. And I think A&W Root Beer, Yum Brands. You know what? That's just, I don't know. They just have not been in sync with the public. You know, they could have started something like Chipotle or, you know, Taco Bell is so out of step. That's just me.
And headwinds. I mean, talking about, you know, transportation costs for food. I mean, those places get 2-3 deliveries a week. I mean, that there's gas there. You got to deal with headcount, right? Adding workers. I mean, it's a rough and it's a low margin business. So I mean, it's a tough place to be.
All right. Well, when we come back, we'll mention Solar Edge, which is down 17.9% today.
Now, I got some thoughts on that one.
Okay. And then I'll tell you about what's popping here today. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. It's the Best Stocks Now show. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Okay, Barry, here is a question from one of our subscribers on Seeking Alpha, where I'm in the chat room all day with these folks, good folks, and, of course, to our other subscribers. Let's see. He says, Bill, good morning. Please let us know if this is an opportunity to add to SEDG, which is Solar Edge out of Israel.
Right.
After you look at the numbers. Thank you. Well, I'm just going to tell you the numbers right now. The forward PE goes down to about 40, and the growth rate's about 30. So it's trading at a little bit of a premium to its growth rate. But this is one of the top, solar stocks in the world. There's not a lot of them. That's my take, is it's gotten a lot cheaper. What's your take?
Yeah, well, in, for context, right, it was up 4 days in the last 4 days, I think it was up about 23%. And then today it's down 18. So they came. This is the funny thing about the earnings game. Like, it's, you know, if you just gave me the numbers, don't tell me anything about what the company is, right?
It's, yes.
So you know, they beat on top line earnings by 2 cents, so they're profitable. That's a good sign. The headline was their Q2 missed revenue, right? And they missed by 1.8 million, right? Out of, like, you know, 729 million in revenue. So they really missed by, you know, a quarter of 1%, right? Which,
yeah,
I would kind of call in line, by
exactly.
The way. And so revenue growth was 51.6%. Their earnings are expected to rise 74% in 2023. And then their go forward guidance for Q3, revenue between 810 to 840 million. Consensus is 820 million. So, you know, I guess when I look at it, I'm like, you know, how you get those numbers and, you know, you're going to tell me that a $1.89 million revenue miss, right, translates into an 18% downfall for the stock. It's it's just one of those where it doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. I guess maybe just because it was had such a big run up into earnings, but you know, it does have a high forward PE ratio. You know, probably given that, you know, if it was just an 18% drop, potentially you'd have a buying opportunity. But you know, given it was already up 23% over the last 4 days, it's probably probably a wash between, you know, if you didn't like it 4 days ago, I don't know if you like it now, for example.
Yeah, you know, I think you got it mostly right there with the, it went up so much within 5 days.
Right.
The expectations were so high So you're just kind of giving up this 5 days of real fluff that was added into it. I think they go head-to-head, though, with Enphase, and I think probably Enphase is the better company of the two. But, you know, this is still one of the superior growth companies in the renewable energy sector, which is getting all kinds of help from governments around the world. If you're going to go from, a pipeline not delivering gas anymore in Europe, these companies have got to be playing a big role in the future. So we're not going to sell our Solar Edge here. I wouldn't add to my position. I never do that.
That's kind of what I would agree with that.
But if I didn't own it, I would use this probably as a possible entry point. Okay, so some of the stocks that jump out to me today. There are a few cloud stocks that are doing well. Paycom is one. I'm not sure if we wrote that one up or not. That's one of the best charts in the entire market. PAYC. They provide cloud-based human capital software. They do a lot what ServiceNow does. And they just reported they had a great quarter. That stock's up 6.5% on huge volume today. And it's that's just a nice, I like those saucer shape chart patterns and then a breakout, which is what you're seeing today. Paycom in the app, I think it's one of the, and I have to disclose that I own a little bit in my personal account. We don't own it in the, we used to. I kind of pulled the plug on it there when the cloud stocks just went in the tank. But Paycom is ranked number 66 overall out of 6,058. Man, that is a good looking chart. There's only one chart that looks as good, or if not, maybe a little better. And that's another one that does very much the same thing. Paylocity. PCTY, man, that's a beautiful breakout. Same story here. We used to own it, and then the cloud stocks kind of went in the tank with the NASDAQ, and I backed out of them, and I tiptoed back in personally with just, a small amount of Paylocity in my own account. I'd always disclose that. I still own it. It's up 5.1% today. On big volume. Those are two excellent stock charts. If you want to see stock charts that Bill likes, look at a one-year chart of PCTY and a one-year chart of Paycom, which is PAYC. Okay, well, I'm not sure the companies that are reporting tonight. There's so many of them, I couldn't even really stop and pick through it, but I'm sure there's some consequential ones there that we'll report after the close of the market. But we are getting down to the end of the big companies, the Microsofts, the AMDs, Amazons of the world. Apple's reported is now in the books. But there's still some important ones that are out there. And then I'll have an update for you in this week's newsletter, because now I would say whatever numbers are out there now, they're going to be pretty good for next year and the year after that. And I still got to look. I'm going to do that right after the show today. If we're getting any numbers whatsoever on 2024, okay. I think we might be getting some numbers there. If so, they'll be in the newsletter this week. Okay, if you'd like to set up an appointment and talk to us, we're active, not passive, 855-611-BEST. If you'd like to sample 2 free weeks of the newsletter, GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.